matters whether you get along with the other singers. It matters whether the drummer likes a guitar player. It changes the atmosphere. When there's aught against your brother, the Bible said, leave your gift at the altar. I don't care how gifted you are. If you've got a bad attitude, God said, I don't want your gift until you get that bilateral connection, that horizontal connection together. God said, I don't want to hear no more vertical stuff coming out of your mouth as long as you're not speaking to the person that you're shouting beside. God says it does matter how you feel about one another. Can I go deeper? So then he says to the offended, he has moved away from the offender to talking to the offended. And when he talks to the offended, he talks to us about how to get the contamination out. Because it's easy to get contaminated. If there's no way to escape offense, then everybody in here has been offended at some time or another. Can we be honest? It's hard to get church people to be honest because we have our reputation at stake and we don't want anybody to know that we're human. But to all the real people in the room, hold your hand up if you've ever been offended. I have been offended. Sometimes I don't read the comments because when I'm offended, I have a tendency to say something back. And I got to struggle down inside of myself to shut up because I can think of a whole lot of good stuff to say back to you. And even when I do say something back, I have to edit it so that I can keep my day job. Because if I let the full theory of what I could say back, just let it flow, hit the organ, Marcus. Marcus would have to play the organ behind me. But I got to telling you what I've thought about you, I'd have to tune up. And so I have to shut my mouth. Now Jesus moves from talking to the offender to talking to the offended. And he says, if someone offends you and you confront them, I want to stop there because most of us don't have the courage to confront the person we're offended with. You can confront people without being confrontational. Burying stuff doesn't heal it. Covered wounds don't heal well. Oh, I struck something that time. I felt it. At least 10 couples had a seizure. I mean an absolute seizure right there on the floor. Covering it up will never make it better. You have to have the courage to speak up. And don't let anybody take your voice away. Don't let anybody out-talk you to the point that they take your voice away. Because just because you out-talk me doesn't mean you change my mind. Jesus said, confront them. And if they repent, forgive them. And the disciples was cool with that. They were cool with that. And then he messed around and said, and if they do it again and again and again and again and again, and then he gave them a number, 70 times 70. And they did some quick math and said, increase our faith. Because I'm good on like maybe a couple of times or three times or maybe even seven times. But when you go from addition to multiplication, I'm not sure that I don't need a touch of the Lord to help me to be able to do that. Because seven times 70, Lord, that's getting like way up into some big numbers there. And I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I love you and everything, but I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that I won't do it, but I'm not sure that I will do it. And so I don't want to overcommit myself, and I don't want to lie to you because you know everything from the beginning, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I just don't know if I can sign up for 7 times 70, maybe 3 times 70, but 7 times 70 might be above my quota. And then they said to him, increase our faith. And I said to myself, what does faith have to do with forgiveness? The disciples saw faith and forgiveness interconnected. They said, in order for me to develop the ability to be able to purge my heart of the way I feel, I need faith. I need to believe that nothing you did stopped me from getting there. I need to believe that my destiny is not altered by the things you said or did or left or didn't give me. I need to decide irrevocably that the promises of God are yea and amen, and that no man or no woman coming or going or leaving or staying or paying or caring can stop me from turning out at the destination that God has for me. In fact, I need to believe that it was good for me that I was afflicted. Some kind of way God used what you did to fertilize my dreams, and I became stronger now and richer now and better now and fuller now. And I've got to learn how to glory in tribulation. I've got to dance when I'm falsely accused. I've got to learn how to praise God even when you don't like me. My defense is to believe God and say, devil, you meant it for evil, but God made it good. To God be the glory. You threw me in the pit. You threw me in Potiphar's house. You put me in prison, and I landed the prince of Egypt. I still got to where I was trying to go. You didn't help me, but I made it. You lied on me, and I made it. You betrayed me, and I made it. You left me, and I made it. You excommunicated me from the family, and I made it. You said I was dead, but I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. I'm back. Is there anybody that made it back through something, and you've been through something, and all hell was breaking loose, and they thought you wasn't going to make it? Jump on your feet and holler, I'm back. We're going to make a declaration there. We're going to make a declaration tonight that's going to make demons run out of every exit door in the room. We're going to make a declaration tonight that brings depression out of your spirit. Suicide is going to have to flee out of this room. Anxiety and hypertension is going to have to get up and get out of here. Glory to God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm going to be all right. Tell your other neighbor, I'm going to be all right. Hell gets nervous. Hell gets nervous when you start talking faith. Demons start trembling when you start talking faith. Witches lose their power when you start talking faith. Sickness loses its grip when you start talking faith. High blood pressure comes down when you start talking faith. Tumors shrink in your body when you start talking faith. I wish I had 30 seconds of crazy supernatural Holy Ghost. Jesus says, none but the pure in heart shall see God. The word pure comes from a Greek word where we get kath. Catheterus is the word. The root word is kath, where we get catheter. None but the pure in heart. Nobody but the people who have a catheter in their heart shall see God. A catheter, whereby they measure the heart to make sure that the heart is flowing blood properly and there's no blockages. A catheter, I won't tell you about the other uses, but all the men said, ouch. Yeah. The catheters are designed that you have a flow. And God says, I want your heart to be open to a flow. And I don't want you to allow any blockages to get in your heart, because if you allow a blockage to get in your heart, it will stop you from seeing God. None but the pure in heart shall see God. If that's not enough motivation to make you get it out of you, I don't know what it is. I'm not sure whether he meant none but the pure in heart shall go to heaven. But I am sure that he means you won't be able to see God in your situation if your heart is blocked up with unforgiveness. And I need to see God to figure out how to make it through the wilderness so I can move when he moves, so I can walk when he walks, so I can flow when he flows, so I can step when he steps. I gotta see God if I don't see you, because he shows me the path. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And if I let something get in my catheter, a catheter in my heart will affect my eyes. And out of the desert grows these palm trees for shade. Do you need shade? Have you been walking through the scorched, dry place of a pandemic? Barely making ends meet, watching the news every night, stressed out and at your wit's end. They said, under the palm tree. And there they rested. God is going to bring you into a place of rest. You will find that place of rest when you learn how to dance in the desert. God said, none but the pure in heart shall see God. God says, if you get it in your heart, it will hinder your vision. So the enemy sends things to get in your heart to shut down your vision. Oh my God. This is so good, I'm gonna shout off my own preaching. God said, I made your heart to flow. I made your heart to flow unrestricted. I don't want you to gather plaque or anything else that slows the flow, because everything God does is in a flow. Everything God created was in a flow. When God created the earth, he created it in a flow. And the rivers fed the streams, and the streams fed the lakes, and the lakes fed the ocean. And God doesn't create new water. He just lets it flow. It goes up, it rains down. It goes up, it rains down. It's a flow. Everything God created has a flow. When God created man from the dust of the earth, he didn't have to keep creating blood. He let the blood flow through the most elaborate highway system that you call the cardiovascular system. Your blood was made to flow, and I don't have to check your heart to see if your flow is right. I can touch your wrist and tell what's going on in your heart, because the pulse, the rhythm of your pulse tells me the activity of your heart. And God said, if things are shutting down, the first thing I want you to do is check your heart. What have you allowed to get in your heart that has closed down your vision? So if I was the devil and I wanted to shut down your vision, I wouldn't have to attack your eyes. If none but the pure in heart shall see God, then all I'd have to do is contaminate your heart until you lost your vision. And if you lost your vision, you couldn't find your way out. And the reason Jesus says 7 times 70 isn't a particular number that he's after. He's talking about keeping your heart open so that whatever happens, you keep flowing. You keep flowing. You might have the feeling, but as quickly as you can, you let it flow out. You don't let things stay in and contaminate you and block you up. Let me show you how quick Jesus was. They beat him until he was unrecognizable. They beat him until his entrails were hanging out. They beat him so long that Josephus says he should have died on the whipping post. But had he died on the whipping post, we wouldn't have been redeemed. Because the Bible said, cursed is he that hangs on the tree, not the whipping post. So he fought death on the whipping post, refusing to die. But when they hung him high and stretched him wide and nailed him in his right hand and nailed him in his left wrist and nailed his feet together, and when they put him up on the cross, Jesus is not on the cross cussing at them, yelling at them, telling them, I curse your unborn children. I curse your future. I curse your destiny. I curse your mama. Jesus didn't say that. I probably would have said that. Jesus didn't say. Don't judge me. Jesus wouldn't say that. Instead of allowing them to contaminate his heart, while they are killing him, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He said, I'm going to keep my heart open no matter what I go through. I'm going to keep loving. I'm going to keep my nature. You're not going to change my nature from being the person that I am. You're not going to turn the lamb into a lion. I could call 10,000 angels and kill every last one of you, but I'm not going to do it, because a lion cannot deliver the people. I've got to be a lamb to get this done. And in order to be a lamb, I got to forgive you while you're sticking nails in my hand. Oh my God, the shouting stuff. Glory to God. I wish I had me a shouting church in here right now. I'm going to outsmart the devil. I'm going to outsmart the devil. You're trying to change my nature. You're trying to turn me into a lion, but I can't redeem as a lion. I can only redeem as a lamb. And in order to be a lamb, even though you're nailing me, I'm going to forgive you, because I understand that it's not you that's doing it. It's the spirit of the enemy that's working through you. And I ask my Father to forgive you for hurting me, because I know it really wasn't you. If you knew what you were doing, you wouldn't hurt me like that. You're just carrying out orders, and the orders are coming from Satan, and I'm under attack. And why would I fight the soldier when the war is not with the soldier? It's with the enemy, and the enemy's trying to get me to mess up what I'm about to do on the cross. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the enemy's trying to mess up what you're about to do in your ministry. And the reason you're up under attack is that he wants you to contaminate your heart. And the Lord sent me from Talus to tell you, don't you do it. Don't get bitter. Don't get even. Don't get mad. Don't get upset. Don't respond. Don't react. Hold your peace. I know you look weak. I know you look helpless. I know you know something you could say. I know you can fight. I know you can defend yourself. But this is not a battle that you're going to win with your fist. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places. The weapons that we use are not carnal. You've got a weapon to fight with. And there Jesus is, bleeding to death on the cross, talking about, Father, forgive them. He's interceding for murderers. Glory to God. That's what he means by 7 times 7. And so they said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith till we believe you when our feelings are hurt. Anybody can believe you when they're happy. Increase our faith till we believe you when we're in pain, when the nails are in our wrist, when we've been publicly humiliated, when we are at our wits' end. Increase our faith to believe that some good is going to come out of this. He says, if you have the faith, increase our faith, Lord. They thought the bigger the faith, the better the fight. And Jesus says, not going to take that much faith. He said, if you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed. Now watch this. Before he said, you shall speak to the mountain, and the mountain shall be cast into the sea. But this time he said, if you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, you shall speak to a sycamine tree and command it to be cast into the ocean, and it will be cast into the ocean and it will be removed. And I said, why did you go from a mountain to a tree? And he said, because a mountain has no roots. So I started digging into a sycamore tree. And I want to tell you, can I tell anybody? Anybody want to know what a sycamore? A sycamore tree is a very unique tree. It's not that the roots grow deep, only about 24 inches deep into the earth, but they grow wide. They grow very wide. They take over territory. And when they grow wide, they twist and tangle. And so it is almost impossible to uproot the tree because the roots are twisted and wide. So when a sycamore tree is growing, it is not the trunk you have to worry about, it's the root. And Jesus is saying, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. God said, if you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, I will demolish the system that has you stuck. You tried to shake yourself loose and you couldn't get loose. You tried to pray yourself loose and you couldn't get loose. You tried to talk yourself out of it and you couldn't get loose. The reason you couldn't get loose is that your roots are intertwined. The only thing that will untangle your roots is your conviction of faith in God. He said, if you have the faith as of a grain of mustard seed, I will untangle the system. Can I go into the system? You're hurt over your husband because your husband hurt you, but it's rooted into something that happened with your father. And now all of a sudden, everybody that reminds you of your father gets tied into the system. And now you're raising a son and he's taking on characteristics like your ex-husband. And the enemy is tangling your roots. Am I helping somebody? If I'm helping you, holler at me. If you will notice, your life has a system of attack. There is something consistent in the DNA of the things that happen to you. It is the roots of the sycamore tree. And they get tangled up until you can't tell one from another. And the same thing that happened to you before is happening to you again. And the thing that happened to your father is happening to you. And the thing that your uncle went through is now happening to your son. And you can see a pattern because the sycamore roots go wide. That's why Jesus didn't ask for the mountain. Because when it comes to forgiveness, mountains don't have roots. And unforgiveness has roots. And the roots are the roots of bitterness. And the bitterness gets so entangled that sometimes you even forget what you're mad about. You're just angry. It's all tangled up together. But the Holy Spirit said tonight, I'm going to untangle your roots. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to bring you to a place of wholeness. I'm going to bring you to a place of healing. I'm going to bring you to a place of restoration. I'm going to untangle patterns that have been going on for generations and generations in your life. This didn't even start with you. This started with your mother and your grandmother. This started with your grandfather and your granddaddy. And the roots have gone wide. And your past is trying to reach over and mess up your future. But the devil is a lie. This is going to be a root untangling morning service. This is going to be a root untangling meeting. You're watching on the internet. Your roots are about to be untangled. Things that have been in your life and you couldn't get loose, and they're all in the ground and it's everywhere and it's all tied up and it's around rocks and it's around ridges and it's around dry places. And you love the Lord, but you can't get loose. And you love Jesus, but you can't get loose. And you love your son, but you can't tell him. And you love your wife, but you can't express it. And you love what you do, but all hell is breaking loose on your job, and it's affecting every area of your life. If you're seeing the same spirit show up in different dimensions of your life, it's because your life is the sycamine tree. But the Lord sent me here tonight to preach a liberating word that's about to loose you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Somebody jump up on your feet like you lost your mind. Give me more power. Somebody jump up on your feet like you lost your mind. You know what I told all my children? I don't care what you do. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you become. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how terrible it is. You can always come home.
See the legacy of God's enduring goodness in your family. For your gift of any amount, you'll receive the Stronger Together Family Album with space to display your favorite family photos and document your testimonies.
Wherever you are, wherever your heart is, that's your home.
For your gift of $110 or more, enhance the togetherness of family meals with the Stronger Together Cutting Board and five favorite Jake's Family recipes, in addition to the family album.
Thank you for 41 years of making it easy for me to come home.
Remember your good moments and pray through the bad. Call or click today. Feel free to reach out to us on social media and share your story of how God is impacting your life. We look forward to seeing you next time on The Potter's Dungeon.